Welcome to Social Geek Radio. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans coming to you live from the Houston, Texas area of Social Geek Radio.
And Jack Munson live in the Chicago Kigo offices. Deb, looking at our little program here tonight, I just noticed this is episode number 300.
Isn't that just so exciting? It's hard to believe. 7 years in, 300. We're cool.
Wow. If we were a TV show, we'd be in syndication and reruns already.
That's right.
So congratulations on show number 300. I joined somewhere in, I don't know where it was, but somewhere
early
in there. So 300 for you. That's amazing. For tonight's episode, we've got a great guest that I can't wait to get to. But first, you've got a quick tip for us in this week's Geek It Out segment.
I do. So usually my Geek It Out tip comes from because I've had a client who asks something and wants some further explanation. So when you're doing Facebook posts, and we are also active on Facebook and we're posting on our business pages, there's a few things that everybody should keep in mind, and it's targeting. Who are you targeting in your posts? So if we're doing Social Geek Radio, and we have listeners from all over, Germany, Australia, the U.S., but let's say we want to target just a specific area, maybe just the U.S., maybe just Australia. When you go to write something, as Facebook says, hey, write something now, there is the check-in little feature, which you could check in and say, okay, I'm writing something, I'm checking into Social Geek Radio. But next to it is the feature where you get to choose your preferred audiences for this post. So I'm not going to go into detail with it tonight, but I do recommend everybody go back, review that a little bit. You know, who do you want? What is your goal? Who is it that you want to see this post? And you can go through it as far as, you know, the locations, the age, the gender, all of that. So just remember, if you're posting on Facebook, it doesn't have to be generic and go across the board. You can really target not just for boosting, but just for posting. You can target the audience. So
yeah, and I think a lot of people are not familiar with the ability to do that on organic posts, because it really hasn't been that long that you could target geographically or demographically without doing some sort of paid boost behind it. So
it's a good thing to remember to do. So yes, Let's dive into our number 300 episode, and we've got an international guest tonight.
Of course,
just so exciting.
Why not? Let's go first class with episode number 300 and a guest from literally the other side of the planet. Joining us tonight from Australia, someone we've been dying to speak with on Social Geek Radio, Ludwina Dudovic from the Room Exchange. Ludwina, how are you tonight?
I'm so excited and honored. Number 300, and yes, I'm honored? That's fantastic. Thank you.
All the way from Australia. This is pretty. Yeah. I mean, look at technology today. I don't know that we could have really done this 7 years ago, episode number one. Maybe not. Not so well.
Probably not.
Especially thank not you for joining us.
imagine the phones we were using 7 years
ago. Oh, my God.
We'll get to that in just a moment. So, Ludwina, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been in digital marketing and technology in Australia for quite a while, making a real impact. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, essentially, it started off when I was 30. I'm 50 now, so it's roughly 20 years ago. And that was back in the analog days. So that was when you had actual cassette tapes in video camera days. And I was producing television. I was an independent producer for one of our key network cables down here, and did that for a couple of years, and then was invited to create a media program in schools, because the teachers weren't trained at university at that time to teach media, but they had to. So then I created Media Minds, which was a two-day hands-on video production workshop that ended up being held in over 300 schools here in Australia. So that was amazing. And then obviously, digital came in, so I sort of had to pivot and innovate and come up with, a different direction. Really fell in love with technology to the point where I was, loved it so much that I ended up working with other businesses to help them with their tech and their digital marketing. So So I did a lot of consulting for a number of years, ran a national women's business network. Then I discovered podcasting back when you guys did, actually, in about 2010 in the B2B market. And, you know, really that was back at the time when we used to have to teach people how to even listen to a podcast on iTunes. So, you know, you remember what I'm talking about.
I remember those days.
You could put it on something called an MP3 player.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, again, you know, sort of teaching – you know, people, educating them on, you know, this great technology. I ended up producing five podcast shows, got to number one with my signature one called Switched On Conversations. And in that time, I had an opportunity to interview global thought leaders in the area of online, digital and new media, then really became interested in investing in technology. So I invested in four tech companies, got involved with the CEOs. I offered my help because I felt that's what you do as being a shareholder. You'd be helpful. And through those opportunities of being helpful, I was able to really impact what they were doing. So that when I started the Room Exchange, which to me seemed the next progressive step, I went back to these people and said, hey, can you help me? And they all said, absolutely, what can we do? And that was the key reason, you know, to sort of get to where I am. So I guess it's not an overnight success story. It took about 20 years to get here, but I believe that this is this will be my legacy. This will be the company that I will, you know, run with and be the one that will impact, you know, people's lives on a global scale.
There's something about technology and karma that helping people at some point with some kind of technology or pushing some technology or helping them with a marketing of some new technology, it always comes back around, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I have a philosophy that I live by. One of them is that, you know, I want to leave a good trail of nice cookie crumbs behind me. And the other is that, you know, I'd like to be remembered as being a nice person when it's my time to leave the earth. And that, you know, is how can I help you is such a beautiful thing to ask people. And it's really interesting what organically happens as a result of that.
Absolutely. So tell us about the difference now between between now and the tech startups that you were working with, let's say 5, 7, maybe even 10 years ago. What are you seeing as a difference?
One of the things that I have noticed in the time that I've been advising, businesses in this space is that, well, my generation, I'm 50, so I didn't grow up with technology, and a lot of the people that I worked with didn't grow up with technology. And it's really interesting hearing their fear around that and, you know, how they limit themselves with that. What I've seen occur is a development of people growing out of that fear, but I'm also seeing the next generation come up who from the days, you know, from primary school pretty much, they've grown up with it. Mm-hmm. So there's a change and a shift that's happening, or possibly a bit of an overlap there, that I find really interesting to see. So I'm not hearing as much, oh, no, I'm too old, I didn't grow up with technology. It's becoming more of an integrated so much more in people's lives. But I also find that there's a lot of people now, particularly around my age, who are either retiring or, that makes me sound old, or they're maybe perhaps,
or very successful, retiring at 50, come on.
well, maybe thinking about it, sorry. Or perhaps they've been made redundant in their job and they're sort of like looking at what's next. And, you know, if they're asset wealthy and they've got time, they're in a prime opportunity now in the world where if they taught themselves some skills, they could quite likely create a business for themselves with the resources that we have with technology, with the knowledge that's available to us via Google, and then, you know, taking an idea. And that's what we did with the Room Exchange. It was how we lived. So we took that idea and we remortgaged our house and developed it into what it is today.
I think that's a trend that we all see right now. And I don't know that this was happening 10 years ago and definitely not 20 years ago. But at around that age, people are starting their second career. Or maybe if they were already on their second career, they're starting their third career. And, you know, we see that in technology. We see that in the franchise space, which so many of our friends and listeners here at Social Geek Radio are involved in. It seems to be something that is not rare anymore, that around that right time period, technology comes in and it's time for career number two, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when I was listening to you say career number two, it's been three. We live in a world now. I've got two adult children, right? So they're 25 and 22. And I can see that they can change their career now every 5 years, even less if they want to. Things are changing. And it's not just for that age group. It's changing for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, technology affords us the privilege, the opportunity, and the resources to create something out of nothing. If you just have the gumption, the will, and the ability to back yourself, it's quite phenomenal what you can create today.
Right, right. And it isn't even a choice to change careers every few years. We'll say five, maybe it's 10. The way things are changing so rapidly, especially in technology, it's not going to be a choice. It's going to be a necessity to survive.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've taught my children was the ability to be flexible and to pivot and to innovate and to see when things are changing and, you know, have the skills to be able to change with it. They're going to be, I believe, some of the prime skills that any employer or any company is going to be looking for in the people that they employ. You know, technology isn't the it thing anymore. It's just like it's an assumed thing now that they'll know that. But the skills that they'll be looking for are those skills. It's like, you know, how innovative can they be in their creative thinking? Can they work on their own diligently? Are they mm-hmm. able to work off-site? Can they work within a team as well? Like, there's lots of things that are coming into play. And, you know, again, as I said, I've raised a couple of adults, so I've seen this, you know, occur even through their lifetime. And, you know, and I've said to them too, the primary thing that's most important in anything that you do, firstly, does it bring you joy? And if it does, then take that because the money will follow. And, you know, again, we're living in a time when we can do that.
Right, right. What other trends are you spotting in the technology industry these days?
It's interesting you ask that. I was having a conversation with my husband last night and noticing that, you know, the peer-to-peer platforms are becoming are popping up all over the place right now. And what I mean by that, they're online marketplaces that connect somebody with the resource with somebody who needs the resource. So instead of, you know, having to go and find a friend who's got a lawnmower, you could probably find a peer-to-peer platform that, mm-hmm. you know, says something like, you know, borrow from me or something like that. And, you know, connect up with someone in your neighborhood that's got one. You know, they're literally popping up everywhere. But I remember about 10 years ago, and I can't remember the exact name of the company, but it was in Australia. And they were a peer-to-peer platform, essentially, but we didn't have the terminology for it back then. But what they were doing is that they were researching all the current private medical insurance companies. And, you know, you could go there as an individual, pop your details in, and it would iSelect, I think it was called, and it would, you know, select the best option for you in terms of medical insurance. Now, that essentially is what, you know, I call peer-to-peer. So you've got someone who's, you know, doing the research and finding information to match it up with who you are. And then you pay your fee and you connect and you get that information or that resource. That is something that I predict is going to be massive. I mean, you know, look, it's all stemmed from the sharing economy.
Right.
Through some research I did recently, they're predicting that by the year 2025 in your country, in the US, the sharing economy will be worth $35 billion.
Wow.
So I know. So based on the collaborative consumption model, looking at resources that already exist and then creating these peer-to-peer platforms to connect them together.
And it seems that it works best where it can be applied to some place where people are struggling. You mentioned healthcare. Obviously in the US right now, it's just, you know, the wild, wild west, and everyone seems to need some sort of help to figure out how they're going to navigate the Affordable Care Act, whether you're a person looking for insurance or an employer trying to figure out how to navigate this. So it seems that where technology is touching those pain points, that's really where connections like that are helping.
Absolutely. So instead of, you know, you going to these actual premises or getting on the phone and calling them, essentially these peer-to-peer platforms are, you know, used to have an ad in Australia with the telephone book, you know, let your fingers do the talking. So instead of going to walk to the store, you can actually use a telephone book. Do you remember those days?
Right.
And you can actually read.
We remember, you know, those, don't we, Deb?
Yeah, they were delivered to our mailbox outside.
I think they still
are. Not
our
inbox on the internet.
Yeah, and we use them as bookends now. I don't know why they still deliver them. But anyway, you know, the whole idea is that these people do the research and do the walking for you. So just behind whatever, you know, smartphone or computer or device that you've got, you can actually jump online research because they've done that work for you, which simplifies it for you. So it makes that process easier for you to be able to decide when somebody else has already done the sort of the back end hard work for you.
Right, right. Okay, now I want to get into your latest venture, the Room Exchange. Tell us about the Room Exchange and what was the origin? Where did this start?
Well, it essentially is blending in with what we're talking about, which is lovely. My husband and I live in quite a large, you know, family-sized home. Our eldest son, Jordan, left home about 3 years ago. And, you know, every time I walked past his bedroom for about a year, I had those empty nest tears streaming down my cheeks. And then after a while, I then started to look at the room as a cost center. And I was like, well, you know, whether you're renting or you've got a mortgage, if you've got a spare room in your house, it's costing you something. And I just really started to think about that. And then I did what most people did, and I listed it on Airbnb, and that was great for a year, and I enjoyed it. But what I realized was that I was creating another cost center for myself, which was my time, because I had to then spend about 4 hours getting my house hotel ready for this guest. So the actual return wasn't there for me. And then what happened out of just kind of, you know, life happens. We had some young adults that we knew, friends of family, who were traveling to Australia and, you know, said, hey, you can come and stay with us. And we really wanted to make them feel like they could open up the fridge and take a sandwich whenever they wanted to, as opposed to, you know, when you're a guest, you sort of feel like you have to ask.
Right.
So I just came up with this idea because both my husband and I are running our own businesses from home, so we were really busy, like most people. And I said, well, how about you help us out a couple of hours a day around the house, and then we'll feed you and house you. And that sort of organically started that way. And after about 4 years in our fourth exchanger, who was recently Guillaume, he's French-Canadian, he was with us for 18 months, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And having him here really formulated, I guess, more of a structure around it because he was here for so long. And my husband and I were sitting at the kitchen table one night, and he said, you know, I reckon this could be a global company. And I said, yeah, I think so too, because we had at least half a dozen people asking us, where can I find someone like Guillaume? And when I hear that so many times, to me, it's time to innovate.
Right.
And pivot and see if this is something that we can do. So then we had a chat and he said, I reckon you'd be great at it. Do you think you could do it? And I said, yes, I think I could because I'm the digital one in the family. And so we decided then. So we remortgaged our house and we've invested a couple of $100,000 in the last 12 months to get it investor ready, and where we are now at the point where we just created we're in the process now creating our first exchange. And yeah, it's just really exciting. So the Room Exchange is, busy people with a spare room in their house get matched up with guests who are willing to give a couple of hours a day help around the house in exchange for their food and accommodation. It's that simple.
I love it. And how do these people connect with each other? Is it through a mobile app? Is it through a website? Is it through some other social technology function?
At the moment, we're in what we call our beta exchange phase, and that's where we're doing a lot of testing and measuring, you know, just with the first release of these exchanges happening. And so what we're doing now is manually creating the exchanges. However, both hosts and guests can go to the website and they can create their profile and tell us what their preferences are in regards to, you know, what they'd like to do, what they're willing to do, you know, personality type, that sort of thing, and then also their verification and security questions that we need answered. I then look at that information and then our team says, you know, this host would be great with that guest, and we match them up. But once we've raised the capital that we're raising at the moment, then we'll build more of a tech platform that can have all of that, you know, security and inbuilt automation features in it that we need. So at that point then, yes, you'll be able to go to the website, and once you've created your profile and you've been approved, you'll be able to see who else is on the platform and then start creating exchanges through the platform that way.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you're doing some beta testing now. Can people still get involved on the ground floor of the beta testing, or is that phase over with already?
No, absolutely, they can. We're focusing in Australia at the moment, but what I would say is I welcome, you know, any of the listeners to jump on the website and, you know, and create even a basic profile at this point, because our goal is by the end of this year, we'll be global. Technically, we are already, because we have registrations in 17 countries already, and we only officially opened them up last week, so that's a pretty good start. But in terms of, you know, we can have guests from America come over to Australia, and that's completely fine. But in regards to hosts being be available in your country, that's essentially, we need to set up an office in the US and have the proper legals and insurances done. Sure. So that'll be part of our rollout plan, but definitely for tourists, people coming. But I just want to reiterate, it's mid to long term accommodation, it's not short term. So it's for people who are looking for somewhere to live and contribute in the household in that way. It's not for like a week here and a week there.
Got it. So not a vacation so much, but right, more of a, you know, maybe it's a semester or a year or something like that that you're planning to.
Yeah, a working holiday.
Great. Oh, perfect. And so where do you see this in, you know, 2 or 3 years? Do you see this as sort of rolling out regionally across the globe? Are you looking to jump to certain places, or, you know, what's sort of your big plan?
Well, our big plan, as I mentioned, by the end of this year, to then technically be global. Our first country that we're looking to open up in the US, Canada, and the UK. And then from there, we'll be rolling out into Europe and other regions. So it's just a matter of looking at, you know, with any business, with any business, it's sort of looking at, you know, not growing too big too quickly, because you can, that in and of itself can become a problem. So just slowly we'll be releasing out. But obviously in Australia, it's the first region that we will be, because we're from here. But once we've got established in each of the major cities here, which will be before the end of this year, then we'll be definitely looking at branching out. We're already doing our research. We're having conversations with people in the US, Canada, and the UK already. We started that from the get-go so that we could pre-plan and see what it is that we need to have in place before we go there. So we definitely will be there. But as I said, you know, we're at this beta exchange phase. You know, people who register now will get to use our platform for free, 2017. And then from there, if I can just say at the moment, but you know, people will be thinking, oh, we'll have, you know, how much is it going to cost? It's only going to be $2 a day. So for less than $1,000 a year, you'd be able to get somebody in your house as a living helper. And for less than $1,000 a year, you know, a young person, you know, we're focusing on 18 to 30, because of the high cost of living that they've inherited. We need to find a living solution, affordable one for them. And so we're looking at, you know, focusing on them as our target group, and you know, for less than $1,000 a year, they can live somewhere for without food, utility, or rent. Perfect. So you know, it's a pretty great opportunity on both ends, and there's a lot of social issues at the moment that we've just organically are starting to become solutions for too. You know, the affordable housing crisis, elderly people who are living in their own that don't yet want to go into a retirement home, that want some company, to university students, you know, not having enough affordable housing for them. We have a lot of international students that come over that our universities need them to help keep our unis alive, but, you know, the affordable housing here isn't there for them. There's a number of, you know, options. I found out recently there's a fringe group of a lot of women over 50 who have become divorced, and because they didn't have enough superannuation, now can't afford to live on their own. It's really interesting what we're discovering as we go through this process. So, you know, when we're talking about peer-to-peer platforms, essentially what we're doing is we're providing that platform where we can connect up the host and the guest. And behind that, we've got, you know, we insist that all of our users have a police check. So we partnered with a police check organisation over here called CV Check. We have, you know, verification processes that we ask the users to go through so that we can verify who they are, from email, you know, address, government ID, to social media, linking up to a social media platform, so we can verify that they're not a scammer, which, you know, we want to give people comfort knowing that we go through that process. So all of those things have a cost attached to us, and that's what, you know, the fee goes towards that and the development of the company. But we believe that you know, with a very low cost or no barrier to entry, that people will embrace it. And the other thing too that is a massive point of difference is that we have a $10 million insurance policy for our users, and that's unusual in the peer-to-peer platforms at the moment.
Very good, very good. If someone wants to participate or sign up for the beta program, where can we send them online?
Well, the Room Exchange, and that's the room and the letter X and then the word change.com, the roomexchange.com. And if you search for us on any of our social media platforms, it's just the Room Exchange, at the Room Exchange. You'll find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, etc. But look, we really welcome that you to actually come and check us out. As I said, you can just create a basic profile so that when we do actually expand into your region, we've already got you on file. If anybody wants to even have a call with us, we're open. Just shoot us an email and we'll jump on Skype and say hi and talk to you about it. And yeah, obviously too, we're looking at partners. We're still in the investment stage, so we're still raising capital right now too. So we're open to having conversations on all of those areas.
Great, great. And if anybody wants to connect with you outside of that, just, some additional questions about some of the things we spoke about tonight with trends in digital technology, what's a good way to connect with you? Are you active on LinkedIn or what's the best place to catch you?
I'm definitely active on LinkedIn, and very much so. And also I'm happy for people to email me directly, so that's Ludwina, Ludwina, at theroomexchange.com, and it's Ludwina Dordovic on LinkedIn. But I'm sure you'll have that my name fully spelt in the show notes, so people just, I imagine, go there and they can find me.
Yeah, we'll have all of the links on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page as well. So we're just about out of time tonight. So I want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight, Ludwina, on our 300th episode. And we look forward to seeing some amazing things with you and the Room Exchange over the coming year.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. And again, 300 episodes.
Thank you.
All right.
You.
Here's to 300 more, right, Deb?
That's right.
All right.
We're ready. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.